Small business, big advice. Welcome to the Very Good Marketing Podcast, where small business owners, employees, or just marketing fanatics can learn how to grow a business on a budget without wasting any money.
Welcome to the Very Good Marketing Podcast. My name is Shannon and I am here with small business marketing consultant and expert Amy Miosevich. And today we are going to continue to explore each stage of the Very Good Marketing Framework. Amy, last time we spoke, we talked about how to attract people to your business and to turn strangers into visitors. So then how do you make those visitors take action and take the next step?
Okay, so we talked about the channels last time, but now we are going to talk about the marketing message. And you can choose whatever channel you like as a business, but actually convincing people to take that step, make that click, that is all to do with how you're convincing them that your products or services are going to solve a problem that they have. So that is all about your marketing message. And your marketing message is, it's a really interesting concept because a lot of small businesses try and create or craft a message that is either too complex, it has insider language, it may be too clever. It's really odd. If you were going to see a Facebook ad or a Google ad, and you're trying to fit everything you know about your products and services into that little bit of text or that little image, it can often make the marketing message lose its effect. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to simplify like your entire business and all the amazing things into this one tiny little marketing message and this really short amount of time you have to deliver it. So it's quite an interesting exercise as a business to practice in the context of discipline, I guess. You need to remember when you're creating this message at the very start of your marketing system that the purpose of your marketing channels and the messages you use on there isn't to convince someone to buy your products. Mm-hmm. It's just to convince them to take the next step, which is to click and to visit your website. And your website has then a purpose to convince someone to become a lead or to inquire with you. So you can't fit everything into the start.
It's not all just hanging on that one message. No. There are other things that will come into play that will then encourage the stranger or visitor to become a customer.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't fit everything in. So now we have this opportunity to craft a message that's going to entice someone to go a little bit further. And that's really about, I think, simplicity. It's about plain speak and it's about identifying the problems that your customers have so that you can solve them. So it's an interesting one to sit down and do. It's a really, really important thing I think businesses need to consider regardless of what channel they're using. And it's quite funny actually. If you've seen Google ads, Google pay-per-click ads at the top of a search engine. The words are often not very convincing at all. Mm-hmm. But you click on them anyway because there's this expectation that, you know, you're going to go to their website and learn more about the company. But the wording that someone might use on a Google ad says, locksmith services, this suburb, get a free quote, inquire now.
It's actually quite basic. It's not very descriptive. It's not overly sales pitchy.
No.
I found that for me as a consumer, the best posts that I see or the best ads that I see aren't filled with jargon.
Yeah.
I can clearly understand even if I have no idea about what the subject matter is.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I try to replicate for our clients is to cut through. And for some of our clients, I don't know what the technical jargon means and I don't know this in-depth information about their business. So it's really trying to simplify and think, okay, what would I want to see
as a consumer?
As a consumer?
Yeah, well, I mean, we are drawn to simplicity and clarity, and we are discouraged by anything that confuses us.
Yeah.
So the simpler we can be in terms of language, especially at that very front when we're a stranger and we know nothing, the better. So there's a couple of rules that I've got in place for this before we dive into some examples and some instructions for how to kind of come up with this marketing message for your business. The first is to remember that simple doesn't mean simplistic. So it's often the case that if you can boil down a big, complicated concept into something really simple, it's better. Not a lot of people can do that. And we've met a lot of clients on along our journey that have really complex products and services that struggle in putting it into layman's terms, I guess, because they think it will deplete the magnitude of the work that they've done over their lifetime and put into these products and the complexity of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the case at all. So that's my first rule. The second rule is that there's always going to be sacrifices, I think, when you're trying to come up with like a one or two sentences to give to strangers. You're not going to be able to fit it all in. It's going to be really hard to kind of choose what's important and what's not. But you've got always got the opportunity to test different messages and see what works.
I was just about to say, you know, just because you've picked one particular topic or area of your business for one message doesn't mean that that's what all of your messaging has to be about.
Yeah.
You can have one message for, I guess, like a product that you're selling, and then another message could be about your company, whether it be your values or your service delivery or something that sets you apart, so your unique selling point. It's not that one post or one ad has to encompass
everything,
all of that.
Yeah.
And breaking it down and sort of segmenting those things will make it much easier
definitely
to approach.
Yeah, I mean, it a really good example is Facebook ads when you're doing like nurture campaigns or brand building. So if you were running a Facebook ads campaign and you were going out to a very broad audience, you might be targeting impressions rather than clicks, right? So you might be putting an ad out in front of, you know, 300,000 people, and you can choose lots of variations of that one ad to give the viewer over time a really good kind of whole view of what you do and who you are and what problems you solve. So you could almost craft 8 different messages that cover off everything that you know is unique about your company that you want to communicate with people at that really high, simple level, and just put them out and assume that someone will eventually see all of them. And once they see more, they'll want to take action. And that's a really good way of thinking about your marketing message, is that you don't just have to pick one thing. You can pick a few different pieces, but not put them all together at once.
It's almost like a drip feeding method.
Definitely. Yeah. So the last thing that I want to mention, we use this a lot, is if you are in a market that may be quite saturated, if you ever think about your business, there are a lot of things you know how to do. So if you're an engineering company and you do balancing, you do some machining, fabrication, you know how to do those things. But being known for something is different to knowing how to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's semantics, but I'll say it again quite slowly. So what do you want to be known for versus what do you know how to do? And sometimes when you're coming up with a marketing message, if you think about that really carefully, it's going to make it a lot easier to put certain things front and center, especially if you're in a market where there's lots of different people kind of competing for the attention of your customers.
Yeah.
So for example, at our agency, we know how to build websites, and we know how to do social media, we know how to do SEO, but we're known for small business advice, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people come to us and they can assume we can do a lot of those things, but what they really want is a holistic strategy for their small business.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to be known for, but we know how to do a lot of other bits and pieces.
So I guess with what you're saying, I guess that's where brand and reputation sort of come into this whole conversation as well, because what you've just mentioned there is your company's brand. That's Lumos's brand.
Yeah.
And that's our reputation, is to deliver this service to small businesses and not just to deliver web development or SEO or Google Ads. It's the holistic view. So I guess that's something that it's important for businesses to distinguish, is your marketing strategy for your, you know, products and services versus your brand and your reputation.
Yeah, exactly. So why do people remember you? Why are people fans? Yes, you might have a really great product, but a lot of the time it's the stuff around that that's what you're known for.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to put that front and center. So it's an interesting one to consider when you are talking about and boiling down your marketing message. That could be a piece of it as well. It's what do you want to be known for, and how can you make sure that when someone is a stranger and they're consuming different parts of your business, how can you get that across? Mm-hmm. So they're really the main kind of three things I want someone to come into this exercise with or keep in mind, because it's really hard to kind of pick a message you want to put out there to strangers. And the next big part of it, and I'm going to give you a really good example for this one. This is talking, this is considering how you talk about the problems that your customers face and how you solve those problems and using that as part of your marketing message or the language that you put forward. So a really big part of this whole thing is identifying and recognizing the problems that are out there in a way that makes the problem seem really urgent for a stranger. So I actually read a book recently about talking to toddlers.
Okay.
So
keen to see where this is going.
So apparently with toddlers, when they're frustrated, they're trying to tell you something, and they're trying to tell you that they want to do something or they can't do something, and they get quite frustrated because it's hard to communicate to you about whatever it is that they want. And this book was saying that a lot of the time they just want to feel heard. And often if you can recognize or repeat to them what they're trying to say, it'll diffuse some of the frustration quite quickly, because they'll be like, hang on, no, they do know what I'm trying to say. So if my toddler came up to me and he was getting frustrated because he wanted to hold my phone, and he was getting angry and he was telling me he wanted it, but then he was getting frustrated and he was crying because I didn't want to give it to him, it's silly for me to just start talking about something else and distract him with something else, because he feels so fixated on this problem that he's got right now, which is that he wants my phone and he's all consumed by it. So as soon as I stop and recognize, oh, well, you want to see mom's phone, and then he stops crying and he goes,
it's like, yes. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And at least then it kind of diffuses it, and they go, oh, someone is listening to me. And then I can go, no. I can go,
we're not doing that.
I say, well, no, the phone's all done. We could go downstairs and play downstairs. And then he'll hear the next bit, because it's diffused some of the tension. So that's just a toddler tip for you. If you wanted to have a read of that book, it was actually quite good. The same thing kind of applies in a way with adults. So if you have a problem out there and it's kind of consuming you, or maybe it's in the back of your mind, and someone's suddenly interrupted you with a marketing message, maybe it's a Facebook ad, and they've suddenly recognized that problem and they've heard it, then you're going to go, oh, I feel really heard suddenly. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should listen to what they have to say next. It's something that a lot of companies play with and try, and it's a really strong way of introducing your brand to someone. So we use a framework in a lot of our copywriting by Donald Miller called StoryBrand, and his framework talks exactly kind of about this. So as part of a marketing campaign and setting up your marketing message, you need to consider and recognize and acknowledge and put front and center what a problem is that a customer is facing, so that when you talk about it, you can then introduce your solution to them in a way that makes them feel really heard and understood. So the example that I've got, and this is not a toddler example now, this is a real example. So I swapped banks recently, maybe a couple years ago, a year ago. And the reason that I swapped banks is because I saw a campaign by this particular bank that recognized this internal problem I didn't know I had about my current bank. But once I saw it, I thought, oh gosh, yeah, that would be great. That is something that I'm really struggling with. I didn't realize. Mm-hmm. And the ad that they put up was, and this is something else to really think about, the ad they put up wasn't, we store your money securely, because that's what a bank does. That's the problem that they solve. That's an external problem that they solve. So that's an obvious one, right? But what they had on this billboard that was on the freeway was they, and I've got it written down somewhere, gain total control of your money. Mm-hmm. And what they had was a picture next to it of the app that they had that had graphs and diagrams, and their subtitle said something about how They don't just help you manage your money. No, they don't just store your money. They help you manage your money, and they help you kind of set budgets, and they help you track your expenses and
it's
your
savings.
Like
accounting at the same time.
Yeah, and I thought about it later, and I was like, gosh, that would be great, because I don't just want my money sitting there. Like, I would love it if my bank could actually help me do what I want to do with it, because my goal of, you know, my goal when looking for a bank isn't just somewhere to store my money. Everyone stores my money. What I actually want is I want to be able to achieve my financial goals using that money, right?
Yeah.
So that was the message that they kind of put forward. And that was the way they introduced their product to me and their solution in a way that made me want to take action, because I realized that I did actually have that problem.
Yeah.
And I felt that problem. It wasn't at the top of my mind all the time, but as soon as someone said it to me, I thought, gosh,
how
right.
amazing is
yeah.
that? How convenient would
yeah.
that be?
I've been heard. So that's an example of how a company's gone, okay, well, what are the problems that people are facing? Yes, okay, I understand. Big picture, externally, they need somewhere to put their money. But what other problems might they be facing? Mm-hmm. And that's something that they've gone and put front and center, and it's worked really well.
Yeah.
So have a think about what kind of external and internal problems your products and services solve for your customers. So this is the exercise I'm going to put forward. So are you following along? Am I going too fast?
No, I am following
okay, great.
Along. I might look blank. I'm just
listening.
No,
no, that's okay. So it's a really good way to start this whole process by maybe sitting down or getting into a bit of a group and brainstorming all the problems that your customers face, and start kind of external. So start obvious. So if you sold smoke alarms, the problems that you solve are that if someone doesn't have a smoke alarm, they need a smoke alarm, right? They
yep.
need to be able to detect if there is fire. Mm-hmm. That is an external problem that someone has. But then I want you to get a bit deeper and go, all right, well, what internal problem is my product and service solving? So for a smoke alarm, it's not really about being alerted. It's about safety and
yeah.
peace of mind. And what you're actually selling is peace of mind that your family is going to be safe if there is a fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually what you're selling. You're not selling this physical product that has an alarm. You're selling peace of mind. And that's where the marketing message can start to be shaped. And your products and services become the solution to that. So I've put a bit of an example down. So when you're crafting the actual physical sentence, because I know that a lot of people are going to be thinking, oh, that's all well, but what does it actually look like mm-hmm. in reality? So the example of the smoke alarm is a great one, because it's such an obvious external and internal problem solving mm-hmm. sentence. But the service level problems are, I do not have a smoke alarm and I need to be alerted if there is a fire. True?
Yeah.
Internally, I need to protect, or I want to protect my family from danger. I want the best chance of survival if there is a fire. Currently, I don't have peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm not really relaxed thinking about the possibility
there's
of
a risk
fire.
There's a risk element
yeah
that, yeah
so success for them is that their family safety is guaranteed pretty much, and peace of mind is secured. So their marketing message may be, we sell reliable smoke alarms so that you and your family have peace of mind. So that's what they sell.
Yeah.
And having that next to a picture of a fire alarm, like, it's a great marketing message, and that tells you exactly what you sell. I mean, this
yeah.
is a simple example because most people know, but that's...
And it's telling people how their product will make them feel as well, which,
yeah.
You know, to tap into that emotion, it's quite powerful. And, I mean, it seems like a kind of obvious emotion because we all know the importance of fire safety
no,
and
no,
things
no,
like
but
that.
You're right.
But it does. It tells the customer, like,
this
is how you're
feel.
Going to feel.
And you can almost picture it when you read it, right? You almost feel like a bit of a sigh.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things this does as well in this message is it picks up the word reliable. And you know how before I was saying, what do you want to be known for?
Mm-hmm.
If you sold, like, safety devices like that, being reliable is a great thing to keep putting front and center in your marketing so that you're known for that.
Yeah.
That's just the perfect word, right?
So then would you, within this marketing message, and in how earlier we talked about building that brand and reputation, would you use the word reliable
yeah.
repeatedly
yeah.
across your messaging to
yeah.
kind of get that across to your customers?
Yeah, I mean, if that's something you want to be known for versus something that you know, then definitely keeping it across any marketing message that you use means that a lot of people will start connecting that with your business.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can back it up, Like if you can start going, okay, well, that's what I want to be known for. So how can we prove that it's the case? So maybe it's like a, you adapt your product so that it really is 100% reliable, and you start doing tests and case studies and you run it.
Certifications.
All that stuff that actually backs it up. That's the thing that's going to help people connect it. And you might end up having another marketing message beyond that that says, that actually has the stat. So 100% of our smoke alarms never fail. Or something like that. You do something like that and then it just backs it up and people go, wow, they are reliable. You know?
Because I think sometimes people are a little bit hesitant to repeat themselves in messaging. Yeah. I think repetition has a little bit of a bad rap when it comes to, I mean, anything really. I think in life you try to stop repeating yourself. Yeah. Usually even in conversation you're like, I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself here. But I think in marketing and in messaging it's not something to be scared of.
No.
If it's used appropriately and very strategically.
It's because our attention span as people is quite short. So you don't think that all because someone's seen something once, they're going to get sick of it if they see it again. Because the reality is they're probably completely forgotten about it.
Yeah.
And they don't, like, no one really cares.
And if they do see it again and it might click in their mind like, oh, that's that brand that have the reliable smoke alarms.
Exactly.
And then, you know, they might see it again a third time in a few months' time. And then when their smoke alarm dies or whatever happens, they might think to themselves, there was that brand with the really reliable smoke alarms. And that's, you know, a successful mission.
Definitely.
In my opinion, that's the whole point of what you're trying to do.
Yeah. And I think you're honestly spot on. I think because when you're in the business and you see words like reliable, you're kind of getting sick of it because you're like, oh, the same messaging. I feel like we're not being creative. That is one of the biggest mistakes that you can make, is think that creativity is more important than simplicity. If you stick with if you stick with this and you actually stick with the messaging that you know works and you continue with it, yes, it feels boring and it feels like you've done it, but that's the only way you're going to be able to associate your messaging and actually be known for something in the market. So remember that. I don't know if we should coin that phrase, but sometimes creativity is like the enemy of clarity.
Yeah.
And simplicity. So I've got a couple different ways of doing this marketing message exercise that I thought maybe I could read through. We work with a company that sells gyroscopic stabilizers for super yachts, which is a big sentence.
It's huge.
Yeah. But they sell a machine that you put in the bottom of a big boat to stop it rocking. And did you know that existed? Obviously you did.
I didn't. Before I started working here, I had no idea.
So it's crazy. So obviously boats rock, they make people sick, whatever. But you can put this gyro stabilizer inside and the torque will offset the rocking of the boat and it'll make the boat stable. And this is just, you know, your left to right kind of rocking. So and it's an interesting one because the product itself is quite complex and this particular company
also very niche.
It is niche, yeah. But they get in the habit, I think, of trying to distinguish themselves from competitors front and center. And what I mean by that is there are competitors that have similar products and what they do is they try and make their marketing message like more torque than any other gyro stabilizer, right? And that's okay down the line, maybe, once you've got someone that's comparing products. But front and center, we stop your boat from rocking.
It's got to be simple.
So the surface level problem someone has. My boat rocks. Being on the boat makes me seasick. I cannot go out in rough weather because it's too rocky. Internally, I would like everyone on my boat to have a pleasant time. I can't explore locations that I want to because the weather's too rough. And if the weather suddenly changes, the boat ride will be very uncomfortable. Right? Success is all days are good boating days. No one suffers seasickness and comfort on board is always guaranteed. So that's what you want. Internally, you're dealing with these problems where you're like, oh, the unknown, like you're constantly checking the weather apps, that kind of vibe. So the marketing message, stop your boat from rocking so that you and your guests enjoy every minute on board. And that is something that a super yacht owner would probably be really interested in, right? And that's as simple as it needs to be, especially at this very front end, because what's going to happen is someone sees that. And even if they are aware of your competitors, they'll go, oh, another company that does this? Let me look further. And then once they're on your website and they've clicked, they have the opportunity to discover these USPs.
Set themselves apart. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's a really good example of that. And I've got one more example, if you're keen to hear it.
Yep.
Okay, so this is for a company that stages homes for sale with furniture. Mm-hmm. So if you're selling a house, you've taken your furniture with you, you've moved out, this company puts furniture, I was going to say fake furniture, real furniture in your house for you, mm-hmm. so that when buyers, potential buyers come and see it, it looks really nice. It actually looks like a home. And it's actually a fairly new thing in the real estate market.
I have seen it so much in movies,
yeah.
that I thought that it was super common.
Yeah, but it's actually not.
But apparently not.
And I mean, it costs money and all that kind of stuff, but it actually makes it, real estate agents, it just makes a massive difference because you can actually kind of picture yourself inside the house, right? Mm-hmm. So furniture companies that do this, furniture stages, they're dealing with a surface level problem of, we need to sell our house. The house does not look its best without furniture, which lowers the chances that it will sell. And we need furniture quickly. Mm-hmm. Often that's the case. You need it next week because yeah. you've moved out and the furniture needs to come in. And
you want to get rid of the house yeah. and ASAP.
Internally, if we do not sell this house, then we will be letting our customers down. So this is an example of a company that's selling. So this is the target market is a real estate mm-hmm. agent. We don't know anything about setting up furniture to sell a house. We may miss the perfect buyer if the house doesn't feel like a home. So they're mm-hmm. internal problems that either the customer, so the person selling the house, or the real estate agent might be facing. Success. There is furniture in the house that suits it well and shows off all the house features. The house is sold quickly and clients are impressed, and the no hassle and absolutely no stress for the owners of the home. So that's what success looks like. Mm-hmm. So the marketing message that I've drafted is, show off your property with our hassle-free furniture hiring and styling service, a guaranteed way to sell your home faster.
It's so simple. Like it sounds so obvious when you say it, but it is a process to get down and drill it down to that one simplified message. And again, like I think so many businesses would see that one particular message and think that they have to jazz it up.
Yeah.
No, we have to say this and we have to include this, and we don't just style it. It's not just a hiring and styling. We also do this and that. But really, at the core of what you're trying to do, this is the message.
And the interesting bit I'd like to mention about the last few message examples I've given, and this is the last thing that I think we'll finish on for today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read this again, and I'm going to read you another example of what you may have seen online. So, show off your property with our hassle-free furniture hiring and styling service, a guaranteed way to sell your home faster, right? This is another example of what this company might have done. We have the best furniture that is guaranteed to make your home look great. We can help you really quickly, and we can guarantee your home is going to sell. So, the difference between these two messages is the second one I've read out. We have the best furniture, and show off your property better. They're two different ways of telling the same story. One of them focuses on the company that provides the furniture. We have the best furniture. And one of them focuses on the success of the customer. Show off your property better, right? Mm-hmm. So one of Donald Miller's, I guess, keystone messages in his framework StoryBrand talks about positioning the client or the customer as the hero of the story when you're putting together your marketing messaging. And this is really important because as soon as you put yourself front and center, so we have the best furniture, or we make the best gyro stabilizers, or our products are fantastic, or our smoke alarms are guaranteed to work, you stop connecting with the customer and their problems and their version of success that they're going to have in mm-hmm. the future. So if you position yourself as the hero, you can almost seem like you're a bit too full of yourself and you're the hero of the story. And no hero of their own world, and let's be honest, everyone is the hero in their own story. Mm-hmm. No one wants to compete with another hero. So how can you make it so that the whole purpose of your company is to support another hero on their journey? So if your purpose as a furniture styling company is to help your customer, help them sell their home faster and make their home look nicer for the context of selling it, then you need to make sure your language talks about that. Mm-hmm. As soon as you start using the words like we or our or my or all this kind of stuff right at the front, it can seem quite separate from this outcome at the end that you're trying to sell. So does that make sense?
I think it comes, well, it reminds me of that example you used with relating to the toddlers, funnily enough. But, you know, that message, putting the customer first and saying like, this is what we can do to help you. That's kind of reaffirming, like, I see you, I hear you, yeah. I know what you need.
Yep.
This is what I can do to support that.
Yeah.
So it kind of ties in with that.
Oh, principle. Exactly. Like if my son was wanting to play with my phone, and instead of me saying, oh, it looks like, or it seems like you want my phone. It'd be different for me just coming out and saying, I want you to stop mm-hmm. doing what you're doing. And I would like to go downstairs and do this. And my phone is just for me. Like, it's a very different kind of thing if you're not acknowledging them and reminding them that their feelings are their feelings inside their body, inside on their journey, their mm-hmm. hero journey, then it's really hard to, I think, connect. And all we are trying to do in this particular part of this marketing journey is to connect with customers. And if you can connect with them right at the start, they're more likely to go on this whole journey. If you miss the connection and they see your ad or they see what you're putting out there and they scroll right by, you've lost it.
You've lost it, yep.
So that's the essence of creating a marketing message. And it's going to be different across every channel depending on the technical parameters of that channel. But if you can give yourself the opportunity to put this copy in and think about how you are actually using words to describe what it is that you do, then I think you'll find that you'll have a lot more success than if you came at it just using the language you've always used.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Shannon.